Let's take our Bibles and go to the Gospel of Mark, chapter 11. We are studying the topic of Jesus Christ, our Passover, how he is the perfect sacrifice, the Lamb of God, who has come to earth to handle the sins of mankind and make available God's deliverance in every category of life. In our previous session, we looked at the events of the 9th of Nisan. And the 9th of Nisan, according to our reckoning, would start on Thursday sunset and go through up till Friday sunset. And then the 10th of Nisan, the day that we're going to look at today, would start on when the sun would set on Friday and go to Saturday sunset. Now, the 10th of Nisan has particular significance because according to Exodus chapter 12, verse 3, which we've handled previously, this is the day of the selection of the Passover lamb. Remember, the lamb would be selected on the 10th of the month, and then there would be days of preparation leading up to it being killed on between the evenings on the 14th. And then the Passover meal would be celebrated at the beginning of the 15th of Nisan, in other words, after sunset, and that day, as well as being a high holy day, the Passover meal, but it would also be the first day of the Feast of Unleavened Bread, which would last for a week. So we've made our way to the 10th of Nisan. You'll remember that late on the 9th that Jesus Christ had returned to Bethany. And then we'll pick up the record in Mark chapter 11, in verse 12, it says, "And on the morrow, when they were come from Bethany, he was hungry." Bethany is a little village outside of Jerusalem. It's, you know, very close to Jerusalem. Jesus Christ was staying there at the house of Lazarus. So now he has come from Bethany. He was hungry, and he saw a fig tree afar off, having leaves. He came, if happily he might find anything thereon. And when he came to it, he found nothing but leaves, for the time of figs was not yet. Verse 14, "And Jesus answered and said unto it, No man eat fruit of thee hereafter forever. And his disciples heard it." Now, this is strange behavior of Jesus Christ, and that's sort of exhibited by this thing, you know, that his disciples heard it. They kind of maybe scratching their heads, saying, what is he doing talking to that tree? But Jesus Christ said, "No man eat fruit of thee hereafter forever." Now, this is very interesting because this was a literal tree, but throughout the Bible, the fig tree is used to symbolize Israel. So, though this is an actual event of Jesus Christ talking to a physical tree, there is certainly the underlying meaning that Israel would be unfruitful after this forever. And, you know, when you take the overall context of what is occurring, we are, you know, a few days away from Jesus Christ being delivered by the religious leaders of Israel over to the Roman soldiers to be tortured, to be mutilated, to eventually be put to death. In other words, what's the context, the great context of this event is Israel's rejection of the Messiah. And as a result, that nation had tremendous consequence. There was tremendous consequence on Israel from this point forward, so much so, as we saw in our previous session, that Jesus Christ the day before had prophesied of the utter destruction of Jerusalem, of Jerusalem being encircled, of Jerusalem being leveled, the temple and the other Jewish buildings being totally leveled and destroyed, which did occur at the hands of the Romans in the year 70 AD. So here, once again, Jesus Christ said, "No man eat fruit of thee hereafter forever." Now, this has a dual fulfillment, as we'll see. It's fulfilled in the death of this physical tree, but it represents the consequence upon the nation of Israel. Look at Matthew chapter 21. You remember that a great key to the word's interpretation is that just because things are similar doesn't mean that they're identical. The previous day on Nisan 9, Jesus Christ had entered the city as a judge upon one animal. But now he's going to enter into Jerusalem again. And this is a similar entrance, but it's different. Look at Matthew chapter 21, in verse 1. It says, "And when they drew nigh unto Jerusalem, and were come to Bethage, unto the Mount of Olives, then sent Jesus two disciples, saying unto them, Go into the village over against you, and straightway ye shall find an ass tied, and a colt with her." This is very similar to the previous entry into Jerusalem, but what's the difference? Now it's two animals. "You shall find an ass and a colt with her. Loose them and bring them unto me. If any man say aught unto you, you shall say, The Lord hath need of them, and straightway he will send them." Now, look at the book of Zechariah. Zechariah is right before Malachi in concluding the Old Testament. Zechariah chapter 9. It says in verse 9 of Zechariah, "Rejoice greatly, O daughter of Zion. Shout, O daughter of Jerusalem. Behold, thy king comes unto thee. He is just and having salvation." The king is just, a just king, and he's bringing salvation or deliverance unto Jerusalem. He is just and having salvation, lowly, and riding upon an ass and upon a colt, the foal of an ass. So here, two animals. Where one animal, as we saw in our previous session, represented judgment, this entry, the second entry into Jerusalem on the 10th of Nisan, represents blessing of having a just king and one who's bringing salvation, one who's bringing deliverance unto Israel. Back to Matthew chapter 21. It says, in verse 4, "All this was done that it might be fulfilled, which was spoken by the prophet," and we just read this, by the prophet Zechariah, "saying, Tell ye the daughter of Zion, behold, thy king comes unto thee, meek, and sitting upon an ass, and a colt, the foal of an ass." In verse 6, "And the disciples went and did as Jesus commanded them, and brought the ass and the colt, and put on them their clothes, and they set him thereon. And a great multitude spread their garments in the way. Others cut down branches from the trees and strawed them in the way. And the multitudes that went before and that followed cried, saying, Hosanna to the Son of David, to the King." So we read about in Zechariah, the king that is just and bringing salvation. Hosanna to the Son of David, representing the kingly line. Blessed is he that comes in the name of the Lord. Hosanna in the highest. While the first entry represented judgment upon Israel, now this is the blessing that the Messiah is bringing to Israel. And when he was come into Jerusalem, all the city was moved, saying, "Who is this?" And the multitude said, "This is Jesus, the prophet of Nazareth of Galilee." And Jesus went into the temple of God and cast out all them that sold and bought in the temple, and overthrew the tables of the money changers and the seats of them that sold doves. You know, it's interesting. One of the things that sort of impaired our accurate view of these events has been that many of these events have been depicted by artists throughout the centuries. A lot of the great paintings that, you know, today hang in the great museums of the world were done during a time when they would paint these biblical scenes. And there's one very famous painting where it shows this particular event, and it will show Jesus Christ with a whip in hand, sort of whipping these money changers. Well, this doesn't say that, you know, he whipped the money changers, but he went into the temple of God and cast out all them that sold and bought in the temple and overthrew the tables of the money changers and the seats of them that sold doves, and said unto them, "It is written, my house shall be called the house of prayer, but ye have made it a den of thieves." And the blind and the lame came to him in the temple, and Jesus Christ did what? He healed them. And when the chief priests and scribes saw the wonderful things that he did, see, really, bringing blessings, the wonderful things that he did, and the children crying in the temple and saying, "Hosanna to the Son of David," they were sore displeased. You know, how is it that any human being could see wonderful things? And the Word of God describes these things very accurately as being wonderful, and then be displeased. Well, you know, these guys, as you work through the words, many of them were children of the devil. They were born again of the wrong seed. Remember, it says way back in Genesis chapter 15, or chapter 3, verse 15, that the seed of the serpent would bruise the heel of the promised one. Well, they are orchestrating that. They are sore displeased at the wonderful things that Jesus Christ had done in the temple. Again, verse 15, "And when the chief priests and scribes saw the wonderful things that he did, and the children crying in the temple and saying, 'Hosanna to the Son of David,' they were sore displeased." It went against their very nature to witness the wonderful things of God. "And said unto him, Hearest thou what these say? And Jesus saith unto them, Yea, have ye never read, out of the mouth of babes and sucklings thou hast perfected praise? And he left them and went out of the city into Bethany, and he lodged there." So at this time, he returns to Bethany, to the house of Lazarus, to lodge there after this day in Jerusalem. This is also recorded in Mark chapter 11. Let's go to Mark 11. In verse 17, "And he taught, saying unto them, Is it not written, My house shall be called of all nations a house of prayer, but ye have made it a den of thieves? And the scribes and chief priests heard it, and sought how they might destroy him. For they feared him, because all the people was astonished at his doctrine. And when even was come, he went out of the city." So this is a little bit about the events of the 10th of Nisan that are recorded in the Gospels of Matthew and Mark. But just, again, to refresh memories of what this day involves. Let's go back to Exodus chapter 12, the original Passover. In Exodus chapter 12, the revelation given to Moses and Aaron in the land of Egypt, saying that this, in verse 2, that this month, the month of Abib, which is later called Nisan, the month of Nisan, shall be unto you the beginning of months. It shall be the first month of the year to you. Speak ye unto all the congregation of Israel, saying, in the 10th day of this month, the 10th of Nisan, this is the day we're working in the life of Jesus Christ. In the 10th day of this month, they shall take to them every man a lamb, according to the house of their fathers, a lamb for an house. So this is the day of the selection of the Passover lamb. Verse 5 says, your lamb shall be without blemish, a male of the first year. You shall take it out from the sheep or from the goats. Jesus Christ certainly was a man. So he was taken out of the flock, out of the flock of Adam, if you will, out of the human race. He was a male of the first year because his ministry to Israel had now been going on about 1 year. And also, he was without blemish. He was without spot. He was a perfect man. So certainly, he met the criteria of the Passover lamb. But the day of selection was the 10th of Nisan. Now, certainly you could say that the people's recognition, the people's standing in awe of him as he came into the city could qualify as selection. But really, when you stop and think about it, who is the one to select the Passover lamb? Is it the people in this instance? No, it's God. For the most part, as we'll see, the people rejected the Messiah. Certainly the leaders of Israel rejected the Messiah. Here they're paying homage to Jesus Christ as he entered into the city, but is that the selection process? Well, there's perhaps another answer to that question. How about we go to the Gospel of John, chapter 12? Now, where the other Gospels might pay more attention to time and chronology, there's an amazing record in the Gospel of John that we know occurs sometime after the 9th of Nisan, which we handled in our previous session, and sometime before the Last Supper. And the Last Supper would occur would have occurred at sunset, starting on sunset of Monday, which was the beginning of the 13th of Nisan. So this record that we're going to read here occurs sometime after the 9th of Nisan and sometime before the beginning of the 13th. So it occurred either on the 10th, 11th, or 12th of Nisan. But it has a very unique feature to it. And that very unique feature, we'll start reading in verse 20, and there were certain Greeks among them that came up to worship at the feast. The same came before to Philip, which is of Bethsaida of Galilee, and desired him, saying, sir, we would see Jesus. Philip comes and tells Andrew, and again Andrew and Philip tell Jesus. And Jesus answered them, saying, the hour is come that the Son of Man should be glorified. Verily, verily, I say unto you, except a corn of wheat fall to the ground and die, it abideth alone. But if it die, it bring forth much fruit. Now again, Jesus Christ is teaching by analogy, but very clear in the context. It's talking about his upcoming death. The hour is come that the Son of Man should be glorified. He that loves his life, verse 25, shall lose it, and he that hates his life in this world shall keep it unto life eternal. If any man serve me, let him follow me, and where I am, there shall also my servant be. If any man serve me, him will my Father honor. Now is my soul troubled, and what shall I say? Father, save me from this hour? Is that what Jesus Christ is supposed to say? Save me from this hour? But for this cause came I unto this hour. You know, this is not easy for Jesus Christ. He was of the flock. He was a man. He was a human being. What was he supposed to do? Is he supposed to pray to God for God to save him from this hour, from this responsibility that God had given him? Because it was for this cause that he came. This is why God had sent his Son as the true Passover lamb. Father, glorify thy name. Verse 28. Then came there a voice from heaven, saying, I have both glorified it and will glorify it again. What had come? A voice from heaven. The people, therefore, that stood by and heard it, said that it thundered. Others said, an angel spake to him. Jesus answered and said, this voice came not because of me, but for who? For your sakes. Now is the judgment of the world. Now shall the prince of this world be cast out. And I, if I be lifted up from the earth, will draw all men unto me. This he said, signifying what death he should what? Die. Now, there are other occasions in the Gospels, and there are certainly other occasions throughout the Word, where there is a voice that comes from heaven. You might remember that at the time of Jesus Christ's baptism by his cousin John, that there was a voice from heaven where God said, this is my beloved Son in whom I'm well pleased. And that was really the beginning of Jesus Christ's ministry to Israel a year previous to this. On the Mount of Transfiguration, where as you work through God's word, Jesus Christ was selected as the high priest to Israel. There was a voice from heaven indicating that event. Well, here in John chapter 12 is a voice from heaven. And it's certainly within the context of Jesus Christ's death. Of the price that he's going to pay shortly. Now, you know, it doesn't specifically signify in the Gospel of John what day this occurred. As I mentioned earlier, as you work through these records, it could have occurred on the 10th, 11th, or 12th of Nisan. But during those days, what criteria or what event, when you put all of the scripture together, could this voice from heaven signify? Well, on the 10th of Nisan was the selection of the Passover lamb. Is this the record of that event? You decide. If it's not, then what is it talking about? We'll work through the events of the 11th and 12th. Is there any other event during that time period that would warrant such a significant declaration by God? So very possibly, very probably in my working of God's word, this is a record of the selection of the Passover lamb that occurred on the 10th of Nisan.